welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Last week we talked about two interesting studies that looked at a very small question. Today we're going to look at something that affects far more people, and it's a sort of a sensitive topic, if you will. We're going to talk about genital herpes, and we know a lot about genital herpes, and we have ways to test for it, both with PCR and with viral cultures. The treatment and the recommended treatment are less certain, and we'll get to that in a moment. There are some things, though, that we need to counsel our patients about. When a patient comes into us that has herpes, in other words, not a new patient, but somebody who has given us the medical history of having a history of genital herpes, one of the things we want to ask about is how the diagnosis was made. Ideally, the person should have had either a viral culture or PCR to be able to identify the actual lesions. We want to ask them about symptoms, including ulcers and urethral discharge and dysuria. We want to ask about whether the lesions are still forming. We want to ask about those previous attacks, perhaps in the past year, their frequency and severity, and how they were managed. We want to be able... Am I boring you, Mark?
Sorry, I forgot that. I'm hanging on your every word.
Okay, I'll pick up the speed here. We want to ask whether the person has identified personal triggers for themselves, sexual intercourse, sunlight, physical illnesses. We want to ask if they've carried out an external exam and do they see any lesions. And we also want to make sure that they understand genital herpes in terms of its prognosis and risk for transmission. There are some self-help measures that have been proven effective, not in huge randomized trials, but that make sense. We want to advise people to clean the affected area with plain or salt water to prevent secondary infections, perhaps apply Vaseline or some other topical antiseptic, increase fluid intake, again, the goal being to dilute the urine and provide less pain on contact with urine, and avoid wearing tight clothing, which can irritate the lesions. Make sure that they're not sharing towels or other intimate contact apparel, and to try to avoid triggers such as ultraviolet light and perhaps excess alcohol. But after all is said and done, and you take all of these steps, there still is the question of what type of suppressive treatment should we take. The question that Mark is going to try to answer is a combination of topical antiviral, in this case acyclovir, plus hydrocortisone superior to acyclovir alone in the treatment of recurrent herpes simplex labialis. Mark, what did this study show?
Yeah, this was in Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology, and they had 2,437 patients that they recruited. Of those, about 1,400 had a recurrence during the study period. So these were all immunocompetent adults, 18 and older, and all of them had at least three flare-ups per year. So they were frequent cold sore sufferers. And so during the study period, 1,400 had a recurrence, and they were randomized to get either placebo cream, 5% acyclovir cream, or a new cream that's a combination of 5% acyclovir plus 1% hydrocortisone. And they put this cream on 5 times a day for 5 days from the time they had the first tingle or the first physical lesion for the next 5 days. So it was a reasonably well-designed study, double-blinded. Patients used a diary to assess the size of the lesions and how they felt and how painful they were and all that. They completed follow-up for 97% of patients. And the primary difference, now the acyclovir cream and the combination cream were both better than placebo. But there were relatively few differences between the acyclovir cream and the combination cream. The main one was that the combination with the hydrocortisone in it, they had fewer patients that developed an ulcer, 58% versus 65%, so the number needed to treat was 15. And that was both were a lot less than the placebo group. And time to healing was a little shorter. Maximal lesion size was smaller. Overall lesion size was less. But that was true for both combination or acyclovir cream, and there were no differences between the two treatments. So they have a new formulation. I have tried to find the cost of it, and I could not find anywhere online, my usual sources, what the cost is of this new cream, but you can bet it's not going to be as cheap as generic acyclovir cream. And really the only benefit is that it's more convenient than using acyclovir and hydrocortisone separately, and that there's a small benefit in terms of less ulceration. So I think there probably is some benefit to the hydrocortisone. It's small. It really depends on how much this costs. And, you know, really, could people get the same benefit just using two generic creams?
So, Mark, I've got two questions. The first question for you is, I may be a little bit out of the loop, if you will, but is there a clear advantage of a topical acyclovir to these lesions as opposed to oral acyclovir?
Just tolerability and safety issues, I think, mainly. And I don't know that there's been a comparison of oral versus topical acyclovir for herpes labialis. Don't know about that.
Okay, because I must say that I'm still using oral acyclovir, and you know, it seems to be pretty well tolerated. Mm-hmm. I will certainly consider this. The second question is perhaps a more profound question. Are my introductions too long?
What? Someone wake me up? No.
Okay. We'll try to cut them back. I tried to just put everything in perspective a little bit. And
your perspective is incredibly valuable.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is. Next week, we're going to be starting a study where we're going to be randomizing listeners to either a essential evidence poem audio or usual care in terms of ability to fall asleep at night. If you're interested in being part of that study, do let us know.
We'd appreciate it.
Talk to you next week, Mark.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. ¶¶